Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house of the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn.
So we won't read big chunks. We will read a little bit. We'll talk a little bit. And if you want to comment or talk about it or say something, feel free. But I want you to notice that something incredible actually is happening. So the couple live in Nazareth. Nazareth is in northern part of Israel, close to Galilee. And all of a sudden, Tiberius, the Roman emperor who's sitting in Rome, decides that they're gonna have a census so that he is compelling everybody to go back to their original towns to be registered. So if this decree didn't go out, Jesus would not have been born in Bethlehem. But the prophecy of Micah that he's supposed to be born in Bethlehem, Micah 5. So like, it's incredible that God was sovereign even over this little census thing. Otherwise, this would have not happened. So like Octavius, Augustus, who's in Rome, thinks that he is in charge, but God is in charge making this incredible thing happening. And she is so pregnant that she can even give birth on the road. It's so they're compelled, basically, go down to Bethlehem, which is almost 60 miles or so. So I just want you to see that there's a sovereignty of God, even in the act, such an act that maybe you don't pause and look at it, but that God is in charge of Roman Empire, basically, behind the scenes. Charles, you want to pick up on verse 8? This is chapter Luke chapter 2, verse 8. Just why don't you read until maybe I stop you.
Okay. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloth, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning the child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told them.
Let's pause there. So Jesus' birth is announced. The angels are sent to earth. Of all the people that are living in Jerusalem or Israel, actually, it's in actually Israel, the angels go to shepherds. Why? Think about all the people that angels could have been sent to give the good news of great joy, which will come to all the people. Verse 11, "For to you is a born to this day the city of David as Savior, who is Christ the Lord." Why the shepherds? Think about the shepherds.
So there were sheep.
They're definitely taking care of the sheep, right? But why the shepherd? Why would they go to the shepherds? Think about it.
Jesus is the good shepherd.
Jesus is the good shepherd. Again, we are only making, like, we're meditating on these things, so I can't for sure know why. But if you were to pick the simplest people on the face of the earth, yes, Jawa, you want to say something?
Well, they're going to the city of David. David was a shepherd. I mean, if there's any, I don't know if there's any
connection
here, you know.
As I was reading this, I was reminded when Paul talks, God chose the lowly things of the earth to shame the wise. I mean, how, like, what is the qualification to be a shepherd? What kind of training do you need?
Some sort of advanced degree.
As long as you're breeding, I think you should be able to be with the sheep. God chose the lowly things of the earth to shame the wise. He chooses the lowliest of the people with the, and again, that spirit is like, when Jesus chose his apostles, again, another thing, like, what is, what does it, what kind of training do you need to be a fisherman? What kind of training do you need to become a fisherman? I'm talking about ancient fishermen. Have you, I don't imagine anybody have been to the Sea of Galilee.
No, you, high and low tide.
Have you been to Sea of Galilee?
No.
Have you been to Sea of Galilee?
I've been to the Mediterranean. I don't remember. I mean, I was in Israel.
Charles, have you been to Sea of Galilee? It is a simple lake.
Yes.
If you have a boat, it's a calm waters most of the time. You throw your net, you watch a guy throw his nets and pull it. There's a probably a technique. Once you do it for 1 week or 2 weeks, you're an expert fisherman. You probably follow his lead. Go, don't go there, go here. Go this time. It is a simple thing with the shepherd. God chose the lowly things. When I was reading this, why he could have chosen, again, we're making conjectures. God chose the lowly things of the world to shame the wise. He picks the lowliest, the shepherd. They smell like sheep. Let's continue on. This is verse
21.
Charles, why don't you read there, and then we're going to actually go to Matthew chapter 2. So just read the verse 21, and let's pause.
And when 8 days were completed for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb.
Beautiful. So we know that there's another thing going on that I should note here. You remember, Mary is told by Gabriel, if you listened to last week, you were here or you heard of it, Gabriel told Mary that she's gonna have a child. We talked about how that was probably very risky because you have to convince the world that you became pregnant by some other means, some divine mean, and that you're going to give birth to a king and he's going to be the son of God and you're insane.
Right.
100%. You are a liar or you are just insane. And Joseph also has a dream. The angel tells him, hey, this is from God. Take him as a marriage. But you know, it was a dream, man. Have you ever had a dream and you redoubt it? You doubt it whether you really heard it right? Whether this was a really God-given dream? Like Joseph was, it's in a dream that angel comes to him. So I think what was happening is also God sending the angels to the shepherds. Shepherds going to the couple and reminding these things was giving them faith and encouragement that they actually did not mishear. You see, like sometimes you hear something, but 9 months later, you forget that you heard it. Did I really hear it? Did really angel come to me? So God is working to encourage them to reinforce their faith through the shepherds that this is real. Even Joseph himself, when he is like doubting this whole thing, don't forget that Joseph have never slept with her. And also, that she was pregnant long time before they even got married. The whole community know there's something going on, right? So I think this was for their benefit in some way. And also you can see that they're people of faith because they're calling him Jesus. So Gabriel told them to call it Jesus. They're following the instructions. So this is helping them to kind of encourage their faith, basically. These angels, whatever's happening with the angels, with the shepherds, them following. I think verse 22, there's a pause here. Before we read that, I think Matthew chapter 2 kind of plays into it. So we're going to pause there. Put your finger there. We're going to come back in a few minutes. But go to Matthew chapter 2. And we're going to pick up on verse 1. Can somebody read from chapter 2 of Matthew, verse 1 through 12? Java, you want to read it?
Sure. Sorry. Mm-hmm. Starting which verse?
Matthew chapter 2, verse Luke. Yes. Verse 1 through 12.
Sorry, verse 1?
Through 12.
Through 12. Yeah, 1 through 12.
Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search carefully for the young child, and when you have found him, bring back word to me, that I may come and worship him also.' When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then, being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way."
Seems like this story is woven right into before we read the other part, because after that, Luke chapter 2, verse 22 comes in my opinion. But maybe you will be the judge of it if you study this in your own time. But what's happening in this one is that when Jesus is born in Bethlehem, some people from the east are traveling long distances. They think that these people were coming from as far as Iran. Mm-hmm. From Iran to Jerusalem is almost 1,000 miles. Typical, if they travel 20 miles a day, it's 50-day journey. If they travel 30, maybe they get there in 30 days later. If they travel 40, it was still almost a month-long trip to get to where they were going. They were guided by some sort of a star, the Bible says. But the stars are so high, how can they guide their path? So it must have been a very low and very small light source. Do you notice that these people are traveling all the way to Israel from wherever they're coming from? The word actually in Greek is magi, but some of our translators use the word wise men. Interesting. Why are they called wise men? You don't have to answer it. Pin that thought. When they're leaving their country, they're not going straight into Jesus where he was. The star actually takes it to Herod. They're in Jerusalem. Why does the star takes them to Jerusalem where Herod is, instead of straight into Jesus.
I'm thinking ahead here. The slaughter of the babies that were
coming,
was to happen, that was coming. And the Old Testament predicted that.
Yes.
That would happen.
Right.
So Herod had to know about,
yes,
what was happening.
Yes.
God foresaw his anger.
Yes.
And so all this is, I think, part of God's overall plan. God's in charge.
Yes.
God is saying, I'm going to, I know Herod's going to be, to put it in modern day term, I know he's going to be pissed off.
Yes.
And his being pissed off is going to lead him to do exactly what I predict will happen. And so I'm thinking this is why they had to go directly to Herod.
Yeah.
So.
Right, there's a stopover at Herod. The star stops over at Herod. It doesn't go to Jesus right away. Hmm. So look what happens.
Can I just make one
addition? Of course.
To piggyback?
Yes.
Like, along with, like, the prophecy, I'm thinking that there's an announcement that's being made. It's kind of letting the powers that be, hey, there's a king there.
Yes.
And it's saying, wait a minute, there's actually another king.
Yes.
A true king. And all of a sudden, that's, like, very unsettling to where you might feel like you're situated.
Yes.
Kind of raises an alarm, but also, and it says that all of Jerusalem with him was unsettled.
Yes. So let's look into it a little closer so that you can see what God is trying to teach us here. So let's go to chapter 2. So they come from the east, they come to Jerusalem, verse 2. Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we have seen a star in the east and have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where Christ was to be born. They told him in Bethlehem of Judea, for it was written by the prophet. So Herod hears it. He actually gathers all the chief priests and the scribes of the people. I look to see if the all, A-L-L, is in the Greek. It is. All of the religious authorities are brought into Herod. Where did he supposed to be born? It's in Bethlehem. Do you know? They're in Jerusalem right now. You know how far is Jerusalem from Bethlehem? Barely 5 miles. You can actually take a hike. I actually was in Jerusalem. Somebody invited us for a little dinner. We were on Cartwright for 5 minutes. It's this close. So they're in Jerusalem. They know the prophecy, right? And then the men that came from the east leave them behind, and they go to Bethlehem to look for Jesus, and they find him. And what do they do when they see him? It says in verse 10, when they saw the star, verse 9, when they had heard the king, they went their way, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. Going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. They fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh, being warned in a dream not to return to Herod. So they leave Jerusalem. They traveled maybe 5 miles. When they find him, they worship him. They give their gifts to him. The religious leaders don't follow the wise men to see where their king, who the king that was born. And the wise men are the one who are worshiping him and adoring him and giving their gifts. It reminds me, us who love the king, who bow to the king, who give to the king, honor the king, were the lawful religious leaders of their time, who's supposed to receive him, are so blind, so dull in their ears, their hearts are just not getting it. You see? Because if they were, otherwise they would have followed the wise men. And ironically, the Bible calls them the wise men. If you're a wise man, then adore the king, seek the king, worship the king, give your gifts to the king. Do you see how it was the Jews it was sent to don't receive him, and the people that are traveling 1,000 miles are seek him out. They'll travel halfway around the world to seek him out. It's ironic that the religious leaders won't make the 5-mile trip to go to their king. Their books are prophesying. Micah 5 says it's going to come from Bethlehem. They are the ones that are telling the king. Can somebody read from verse 13 onwards a little bit?
I'm sorry, back in Luke? Or
yes, we're in Matthew chapter 2, verse 13. Read a little bit.
Okay. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said. "Take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night and left for Egypt, where they stayed until the death of Herod. And so it was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I call my son." When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and in the vicinity who were 2 years old and under.
Even Herod, the evil king, has more faith. Why does he kill the children?
Because Jesus. One of them might be Jesus.
So he had more faith than the religious leaders who would not bother to even look for it.
He's going to wipe anything out, anything.
It's to their shame that they're so blind. To their shame that they're so dull. The religious leader, what does it say? All the chief priests and the scribes of the people are so dull. Even Herod has more faith, perceives this as a threat. And the wise men coming 1,000 miles to adore their king, love their king, worship their king, give all these precious stones. And taking this journey that probably took them a month to 2 months, perhaps they could have been attacked on the way. Perhaps they could have been robbed with their properties. They're taking great risk going through this kind of journey and it just reminded me us, the people that love our Lord, that we will take this risk to go to him, to travel to him, to seek him and to worship him and to adore him and give our gifts. What are our gifts? Our times, our resources, whatever you have that you want to give it to him because you love him. Let's read we're in chapter 2 of Matthew. Let's finish this section and then we'll go back to Luke again. Verse 19 through the end of the chapter. Can somebody read it?
"Now when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, 'Arise, take the young child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the young child's life are dead.' Then he arose, took the young child and his mother, and came into the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea instead of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And being warned by God in a dream, he turned aside into the region of Galilee. And he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, quote, he shall be called a Nazarene.
So Jesus is born, and let me just run this chronologically so that we can actually weave these two books together, because it just seems like Matthew kind of includes one thing and Luke doesn't. And so it seems like Jesus is, hold on, let me get there myself so that I'm not lost. So the family, there's a census. The family goes from Nazareth to Bethlehem. They give birth there. The shepherd come and honor the child. He is circumcised because it was the 8 days after his birth. Then the Magi comes, or the wise men come. Herod seeks the child in Bethlehem. Joseph is warned. Joseph goes to Egypt. Herod doesn't know that. He kills all the children. And when Herod is dead, and it doesn't take very long. I think after Herod gives the word, he is dead within 1 or 2 years, chronologically, time-wise. So they come out of Egypt really quick, kind of, maybe 1 or 2 or 3 years later. Now they're in Galilee. Verse 22 of Luke chapter 2. Can somebody read from Luke chapter 2, verse 22?
Yeah, you want to read?
I will read.
Sorry, Luke, verse 22, you said?
Chapter 2, verse 22.
Now when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were completed, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord. Every male who opened the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons.
Go ahead. You have something you want to say?
Is it more?
Yeah, just read on a little bit more.
Simon's son. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory of your people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Then Simon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed.
Okay, let's pause there. So we're talking about this guy named Simeon. Simon. I don't know if the spelling is different. I think Simon is spelled, but I don't know, maybe they're the same.
I think it's Simeon.
By the Holy Spirit, he comes up and finds Jesus in the temple. But I was paused by this one word. It says in verse 25, now there was a man of Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking for consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. I was thinking about that. What does that mean, looking for?
What age is Jesus at this now?
He's young. We don't know his age yet.
Yeah, no.
The Bible doesn't give us the age.
No.
But he was looking for the consolation of Israel. What's that mean?
Consolation.
Consolation.
So consolation, like, yeah, what's the definition of consolation? Like a consolation prize. Like, it's not the full gift, right? It's like something like, it's like a participation award, right? Consolation, right?
Consolation is the main prize, right?
No, consolation prize is like not the main prize. It's like, you know, you're on a game show, right?
And that's what I was saying.
You don't, you know,
you didn't win it, but you got the second one.
We got the consolation prize. You know, you got two tickets to Puerto Vallarta.
I think you're right. That's exactly what it is. Sometimes I just have to do this. Please forgive me if you know the words, but sometimes I have to look at the dictionary to perhaps put my brains around it. But exactly what that is. So that word is to comfort received by a person after a loss or disappointment. So he didn't win the first one, he gets the second one. But this man was looking for a consolation of Israel. So he was a comfort received by a person after a loss or disappointment. A person or thing providing comfort to a person who has suffered.
Yes. Console.
Console.
So is console.
Correct.
Yes.
So that kind of pushed me into a rabbit hole to see what this guy was feeling. So I'm going to draw up what was going on in Israel politically. Herod the Great was a terrible tyrant and was ruling for a long time in Israel. He was a tyrant, became a king in Israel. He was terrible. He killed his own children. He killed his own wife. He was so terrible. You guys remember in the Old Testament, when God tells Moses to leave Israel, God tells him to choose 70 elders also to help him to lead. You guys remember the 70 elders? In the New Testament, they're called Sanhedrin. They're the foremost elders of Israel, ruling or judging or managing
the
affairs.
Like the Supreme Court of its day.
Correct.
Right? Yeah.
Herod puts to death 46 of the 70. He is so ambitious with building projects, he overtaxes his people. So when Simeon is looking for a relief from this tyrant or his descendants that are coming after him, it was a terrible time for the Jews. Terrible times for him. He was a terrible tyrant. So imagine, like, you know, we're under politically a president. He's killing his own children. He's killing his own wife. He's killing the half of the Congress, or more than the half of the Congress. Imagine a tyranny where people are fearing and overtaxed because of his mismanagement. This is the political period, and Simeon is coming. He was looking for a relief, and he says, verse 29, Lord, now let your servant depart in peace, according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you prepare in the presence of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentile, for glory to your people, Israel. So so he has seen the Lord's Christ coming, and the prophet through the Holy Spirit. So just the political backdrop on that. You want to say something?
Yeah, I wonder if that passage here suggests that Simeon was looking for political relief rather than spiritual relief. Because obviously I think Jesus came to provide spiritual relief, not political as many in that day.
Correct. But don't forget, many of the Jews thought he's going to be involved in politics.
Yes.
He was many times inquired, is it the time? They wanted to make him a king. You remember? He had to walk through them.
Yes.
So, yes. I think they were kind of interwoven. They just didn't have a clarity yet.
They wanted to make him Burger King.
Let's read a little bit more and we're going to conclude it. Verse 36. Anybody wants to read?
You were going to Anna, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is very interesting here.
Now there was one, Anna, a prophet, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And this woman was a widow of about 84 years who did not depart from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him to all those who looked for redemption in Jerusalem. So when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own city, Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him.
Okay, that's going to be the conclusion of our Bible study, but we're just going to kind of conclude it with this, the prophetess Anna. It, again, like this was another trigger word. So this woman was looking for a redemption of Jerusalem. Sometimes like these languages are so like what does that mean? Like, I'm like, what? First of all, why such words? Like, I have to, again, look at the word redemption. So he was looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. The word means the action of saving or being saved from sin, error, or evil. The action of regaining or gaining possession of something in exchange for payment or clearing of a debt. Mm. So she was looking for getting their country or getting their religion or getting whatever it is that they were. She was looking for that.
In this time, did we have shillings? We had gold coins and silver coins that were in exchange.
Sure.
Yeah. So that's the debt. Well, where is the debt owed to? It's owed to Rome.
Hmm? So as we expect this, so I'll recap some of this thought. Of all the people that angel could go and announce this good news, he picks up the shepherds, the rejected things of the world to shame the wise. Again, I could be wrong. Please forgive me if there are another reason. We're just making conjecture. We're meditating on these things. Of all the people that could honor the king and give him gifts, it is the strangers, the Gentiles, the yes. far away, and the Bible calls them ironically wise men. And if you are seeking your king and you bow to him and worship him and you give your gifts, you are a wise man compared to the religious leaders who are so blind, cannot even make the trip 5 miles away to look for their king that they themselves said that would be born in Bethlehem. It kind of gives you kind of like the spiritual state of their leadership.
What were they afraid of?
And you have this Simeon coming, Anna is coming, and we know quite a bit. You can read that in Wikipedia, Herod the Great, what kind of man he was. He was just a terrible tyrant. God put them into this place where they were just like kind of like in despair and suffering. And so all of a sudden, this good news was a good news that the Messiah is coming. He's born. And even though the mother Mary is struggling to kind of convince everybody that she's not really out of her mind, that really the baby is going to be the Son of God. The Son of God, right? It sounds really ridiculous, actually, that he's going to be the king. And Joseph is struggling to hold his dignity because mm-hmm. she's pregnant without them being. And everybody knows before they got married, they have a baby. They have like public disgrace. They need all these encouragement. Whoever is going to offer it to them. So it's in this case, the shepherds confirming it, the Simeon confirming it, Anna coming in and affirming it, that this son is special. And that's going to be our conclusion. I'll turn off the camera if you guys want to talk a little bit.